The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me.
Let's focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. As Pastor Aubrey said, we're in week 4 of our series titled My Verse. And in this series, we're hearing from all 8 of our pastors here at Focus Church. And we're just all going to be sharing both an inspiring story and a relatable truth from the Bible that changed our lives. See, God's word can change us if we allow it to. And as we hear the My Verse from each of our pastors, consider what your verse might be and how God can change you. Today I'm calling this message, If It Ain't God. And the question I'm looking to answer today is, how do I change the focus of my life if it ain't God? If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, or for focus to your life, I've got good news. There's hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I want to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. If you'll go ahead and open in your Bible app with me or into your physical Bible into 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 15. On the way in, you should have received some note handouts from our wonderful host at the door, and those will just have little fill-in-the-blanks with, that way you guys can follow along with me as you go. I also want to say hi to everyone watching online. Just tell us who you are, tell us you're watching, tell us where you're watching from, and one of our service hosts wants to say hi to you as well. So before we get into the Bible reading, I just want to give you guys a little bit of backstory of what's happening. King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of the Israelite army, they were going through a place and 3 armies declared war on them. And see, this is really scary for them because all 3 of these armies are much larger than they are. And everything seemed hopeless. And we pick up in the story right after a prayer that King Jehoshaphat prayed to God, reminding God of everything that he had done for the Israelites in the past. Reminding God of all of the things he did, of when he freed the Israelites from Egypt and how he protected them the entire path all the way back to Israel, and asking God to do the exact same thing. When he got done praying, one of the men in his army had the Spirit of the Lord fall upon him, and God spoke through him. And that's where we're going to pick up. Verse 15. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for letting us all be here together, God, to just hear your word. God, I pray that as we go through today and I speak about my verse, God, that there can be things in this that everyone in this room can take away, Father God. I pray that these don't be my words, but yours, Father God. And I just pray that anyone in here that needs to encounter you, God, that needs to feel you today, God, can hear something that connects them to you on a deeper level, Father God. And in your name we pray. Amen. Today I'm sharing with you something from God's word that changed my life. However, this might be about my journey. I believe that it can affect you as well. If you don't know me or if you didn't recognize me without my hat on, my name is Pastor Ferg. I'm the youth pastor here. And I have a wonderful and incredible opportunity and privilege to be the youth pastor here. But if you would have told me when I was youth group age that I would have been a youth pastor, I would have laughed in your face and just pointed you my direction and at my friends and told you, who would ever want to pastor that? But I love my job, and I love what I do, but I'm always taken back whenever I get to be with these students that about the kind of person that I was whenever I was, especially in middle school and high school. And I wasn't a bad kid. I had good grades, and I played the sports. I never really got in trouble, but I did get yelled at by teachers quite a bit. The thing is, I really like to talk. I talk to my friends, I talk to my teachers, I talk to a door if they'd let me. But the thing is, in school, you're not really allowed to talk unless, you know, you're given permission. But I would always be sitting with my friends in class, and I went to the same school from kindergarten all the way up through high school, and so I knew everybody there. And so I would just be done with my work, and I'd talk to my friends, and the teachers would be like, stop talking, and I'd be like, got it, and then I'd keep talking. And so I'd get moved to another spot in the room, and they'd sit me by people that they knew that I wasn't really friends with, and so what would I do? I would make friends with them and talk to them and not shut up. And there would be times that I got set in desks all by myself, and I would just yell across the room to my friends. But the thing is, I just really like talking, and I like talking to my friends because I want to know what's happening in their lives. I wanted to share the thoughts that I had in my brain. And I remember that when those things would happen, whenever I'd get put all the way across the room from my friends, and I had special rules on me. Like, I wasn't allowed to get up for anything. I had to, like, anyone else was allowed to go sharpen their pencil to get a tissue. I was not. My teachers did not trust me, unless it was a very good reason. Like, my pencil was, like, dropped, and I had to go across my desk to pick it up. That was pretty much it. And so I remember I'd finish an assignment, and I'd be done, and I'd be playing with my pencil, and I'd be like, oh, I should go hang out with my friend today. And I'd find them across the room because I wasn't allowed to sit with them. And I'd take my pencil, and I'd just launch it across the room right beside their desk. And I'd look at it for a second, and I'd look at my teacher, and I'd, in this exact same tone of voice, I'd go, oh, no, I dropped my pencil. Get up out of my desk, go grab my pencil, and have the conversation that I wanted to have. And usually my teachers would let it go for a couple minutes before they'd yell at me because I wasn't hurting anybody per se. I wasn't following the rules, but my teachers knew that I had good enough grades and that I was not getting anyone else in trouble, so they normally let me go for a couple of minutes before they'd yell at me and send me back. And it was probably in one of these moments where I went to talk to a friend that I wasn't supposed to talk to, that I would make all of my plans, and we'd make plans to go see movies or go bowling or just hang out at their house. And so I'd make these plans, and then I'd go home, and it'd be close to time for my friend and their mom to come pick me up, and I'd get a text from them. They'd be like, hey, we're on the way. And I'd be like, uh-oh, I forgot to tell my parents. And so I'd wait 4 or 5 minutes before I got up. My friend lived exactly 8 minutes away. I had it timed. I knew exactly how far they left. I had it down to a science. And so they'd text me, and then 4 or 5 minutes later, I'd get up, and I'd go to my parents' room, and I'd be like, hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. How's it going? And they'd be like, what do you want? And I'd be like, okay, just hear me out. Hear me out. And I'd look at my watch and be like, all right, I got 90 seconds. Here we go. Okay, so today in school, I was in class and I needed to go talk to my friend. And so I threw my pencil across the room and I went over to talk to them and I got yelled at for talking to them. So we had to make plans after class. And then in the hallway, I got yelled at more because I was wearing a hat. I'm not even allowed to wear a hat in school. And it's a stupid rule and I don't agree with it. And my mom was like, dude, calm down. What do you need? And we had these security cameras on the outside of our house and we had the monitor in my parents' room. And so I'd look over at the monitor and I'd see the car pull in the driveway. And I was like, my friend just pulled up. I'm going bowling tonight. I need money to go. And I thought that I had one pulled over on them. They'd never say no to somebody that had already driven all the way to our house and was in our driveway. And so they'd give me the money that I needed, and then they'd send me on my way. And I was like, yeah, did it again. But I didn't realize at the time, and I realized as I got older, moms talk. If anything that happened in my life, my mom knew about it before I did. Because my best friend's mom and my mom, they were really good friends. So there was no way that the second these plans got made, my friend's mom didn't text my mom. My mom already knew about all of this. And so I realized that I didn't have to give her this full history lesson, and I didn't have to be scared to ask her. All I had to do was go up and tell her what I needed, and she would already know, and she'd be okay with it. And so I remember the first time that I heard this story of King Jehoshaphat and the Israelite army. I remember I was a kid. I was probably in kindergarten or first grade. And I remember in my little kid brain thinking two things. One, if the armies were already there, if they were already trying to fight the Israelites, why did God make them wait until tomorrow? What if someone attacked them overnight? I didn't understand how armies worked. But the second thing that I thought was, why did Jehoshaphat pray to tell God everything that he already did and everything that God already knew before finally asking God for what he needed, before finally asking God for help? See, God already knew what they needed. Just like in our lives, God is aware of your situation. And even if it feels like he isn't, or even if you've tried to hide things from him, or you try to hide things away from everyone in your life, God still knows what's happening in your life. See, he knows exactly what you need, too. You don't have to give him this big, long history lesson of how you got there, what you're doing. You just have to ask him to be with you no matter where you are. And I know what you're thinking, maybe, if God knows, why hasn't he done anything to fix my situation yet? And the short answer to that is, he has. See, God is constantly working in your life, even when you don't recognize it. And sometimes, when you need a big old move of God, you've got to stop trying to fix everything on your own. See, you have to have a dependency on God. You have to be willing to trust God enough to allow him to take things into his hands. And I know that that's not the easiest thing in the world. It's something that I struggled with as I grew in my faith. I remember that whenever I was in high school, I was in the same school from kindergarten all the way up through high school. And I started really struggling with things towards the end of my junior year that summer and beginning of my senior year. Because if you know anything about little kids and teenagers, is you're not the same at the age 5 as you are going to be when you're 17. I really hope that you guys weren't the same at 17 as you were when 5. Like, that might be a problem. But the thing is, as we all grew up, my friends grew in different directions than I did. They started getting into things that maybe they shouldn't have gotten into, and things that I knew that I wasn't supposed to be around, and my parents didn't want me hanging out with people that were doing these things, and so I constantly fought this battle in my head of, well, I love these friends, I've known them my entire life, but I don't want to fall into what they're doing, and if I'm around it, I might get into it, and I didn't want to disappoint my parents, and I didn't want to do things that I wasn't supposed to do, and so I was constantly fighting this battle in my head of being where I'm supposed to be and with who I'm supposed to be. And on top of all of that, I was struggling with some things and just in my personal life, things that I didn't know how to navigate and probably fights with other friends and maybe some family things that were going on. But I did everything that I could to fix it all on my own. I tried so hard to fix all of my problems on my own. I didn't want to tell my friends. I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't even want to go to God with any of it. And I remember that at one point, all of these struggles, they just added up and it got to the point where I could barely get out of bed to go to school. And it was 3 weeks into my senior year, and I woke up late just as I had been for every single day of those 3 weeks. I woke up late in a rush to get to school, and I just thought, maybe I just shouldn't go. I was like, no, if I don't have a reason, my parents won't let me skip. And so I got up to get dressed, and I remember immediately as I got up feeling sick. And I got a huge headache, and my stomach started hurting. And I was like, what? And I got dressed, I was like, it'll go away before I leave, and it didn't. And I was like, well, I don't want to go to school if I'm going to be sick. And so I went to my mom, and I was like, hey, Mama, I don't feel good. I want to go back to bed and sleep it off, and I'll be fine tomorrow. She was like, okay, yeah, that's fine, no worries. And then the next morning, I woke up, and I was like, I definitely have to go to school today. Mom won't let me skip 2 days in a row. And so I got up to get dressed, and the exact same thing happened. And I remember thinking, like, this is weird. Like, it's a real sickness, like, I'm feeling. I'm not making it up in my head because I don't want to go to school. And so I went to my mom, and I was like, Mom, I don't feel good. And she was like, all right, go back to bed. And that day, the first day, I kind of spent, you know, playing video games and watching TV. But that day, I remember feeling really weird about the situation. And I asked God, I was like, God, once my mom left for work, I started feeling better both days. Are you trying to tell me something? And I started praying to God, and I was like, God, I if you are, like, I don't want to go to school, but if that's where I'm supposed to be, like, I need you to get me there. Like, just, I don't know why you're doing this and making me sick, making me maybe even make my mom upset. I don't know. And God was like, calm down. Be patient. I've got this. And I was like, you've got what? Like, I've got to go back to school. I've been trying to fix this for a long time. Nothing's working. He was like, calm down. I've got this. And I was like, okay. So I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I got dressed, and I went to school, and on my way down the hallway to tell my mom bye and get in my car and leave, I felt this voice saying, you're not going back to school. And I was like, what do you mean I'm not going back to school? Like I have to be there. I can't drop out of school. And so I started walking back down the hallway, and I heard this voice again. I said, the voice said, you're not going back to school. And I was like, all right, look, I'm going to trust you because I assume that this is God talking to me. But the thing is, I don't know if you know my parents, God. They're not okay with that. Like, you've got to go to school. Like, grades are important. School's important. Like, when you start something, you finish it, no matter what that is. I was like, my mom has never yelled at me in my life, and I don't want to start now. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Southern mamas. You don't want to get yelled at by a Southern mama. It is not good. Your entire neighborhood knows about it. It's all over Facebook the next day. It's ridiculous. But I went into my mom's room, and I said, all right, Mom, I can't go back to school. And my mom gave me one of these. She said, all right, cool. I was like, what do you mean, cool? Mom, I just said, I'm not going back to school. Like, I can't go back there. And she was like, yeah, I know. Go back to bed. Call your dad when you wake up. Figure out your new work schedule. I worked for my dad. And we'll figure out what to do on the next steps. I was like, this is a miracle for God. I'm not going to question it again. I went right back to bed and I went to sleep because I didn't want my mom to change her mind. And so in doing that, in the next couple of days after I left school and we unenrolled, we found this program at the local junior college. And what it was is I was able to go there as a full-time college student, take full college courses, get full college credit for them, and not have to finish going to high school because they were considered dual credit classes. They were high school as well. And we got into this program, and doing that, I didn't have to be around those same people all the time. I found new friends, and I got a year ahead in school. And that ended up being one of the most beneficial things that I ever did in my life. And I'll get back to that a little bit later. But going back to our story, when God told Jehoshaphat and his army what to do, God didn't say, hey, I'm going to do this for you, so go hide at your camp until I'm finished, and then I'll take care of it. No, he told them to take their positions as if they were about to fight and then stand still and watch God win the victory. He was saying, be willing to step out in faith, and I'll take care of it from there. Or maybe if he's talking to us in this situation, he's saying, be willing to trust me with your finances, and I will bless you. Or be willing to go to marriage counseling, and I'll heal your relationship. Be willing to follow me, and I will lead you down the right path. See, that first year of school, it allowed me to get into the college that I knew that God wanted me to go to, without taking an ACT, without taking an SAT, and while being a college dropout. Now, my mom doesn't like that I called myself a dropout because I technically graduated. I have a diploma. She ordered it off the internet, so I don't know if it's real. But she doesn't like when I call myself a dropout. I think it's funny because it's fun to go from saying you're a college drop or a high school dropout to getting your bachelor's degree at 19. No one else can say that. It's a good time. My mom still hates it, so I'm probably going to get yelled at after this because I know she's watching online, but it's okay. You see, so because I was able to take this first year of college, I had enough credits to transfer in to the college that I knew that God wanted me to be at. And I knew that God made that way, and I knew that God provided for me to get there, but I still had questions. One was I didn't know anybody at this school. I'd never met anyone that was going to school. None of my friends were going there. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Because as you guys know, I need friends. I got to talk. You guys know, even now that if you know me, that I still talk too much. I had to have people to talk to. And I was like, if I don't have friends, I don't know what to do. And then the other thing was, for my degree, I got a degree in church leadership. And what the requirement for that is interning at a church in whatever field your specialty is. And so for me, I had an intern in a youth ministry at a church. And I didn't know a single church in the area. See, growing up in the Bible Belt, there's churches literally everywhere. My hometown of 100,000 people had over 250 churches in it. You couldn't go a quarter mile without seeing a church unless it was someone's farmland. And then they still probably had a house church. Like, it everywhere. But going into this new place in this new city, I didn't know any of their churches. And they were further apart, and I didn't know where they were. But God answered both of these questions that I had right off the bat. See, my first day, I got there, and I met one of the best friends that I ever had, and she introduced me to all of her friends, and I still talk to all of these people consistently, and they're still some of the best friends I ever had. And the thing is, I don't know if you know about going to college, but most people, they go to their first semester of college, and they're like, all right, I'm going to work on school, I'm going to focus on my studies, I'm going to focus on this job or this internship that I have, I'm not going to let a relationship get in my way, I'm here to study and focus. Yeah, it took me 2 days to catch feelings for this girl. Luckily, she really liked me, too, as a friend. So that's cool. I got to go to her wedding last year. I'm great. It's fine. Thanks for asking. But we started hanging out all the time, and the weekend came up, and she was like, hey, come to church with us. I was like, okay, cool. Where are we going? And she was like, I'm going to go to this church. It's not the church that I'm going to stay at, but an old friend of ours just got this children's pastor position at this church in Fort Worth. And Fort Worth was about a 55-minute drive from our school. I was like, all right, cool, let's do it. And she had told me about the other church she was going to, and I was like, all right, I'll go to those with you as well. And we go to this church, and I attend a service, and I really like it. I really like what the pastor said. And then I go to the kids' service, and we volunteer there, and I get to help lead one of their small groups. And by the time I was done, by the time we left, I knew that that's exactly where God wanted me to be. And it took God all of 1 week to answer every question that I had going into college. Who am I going to spend, like, my college years with, and where am I going to serve you? And that church became my home for the next 3 years. I would wind up moving to Fort Worth after college to continue being at that church, to continue my internship, because everyone there became like family to me, and I was able to do amazing things that God was asking me to do there. So I drove that 55-minute drive 3 to 7 times a week just to be at that church because God was leading me there. And see, I believe that if you follow God's direction, you will never be lost. If I didn't listen to God and go to this ridiculously far church, I never would have found the family that I found there. And I never would have gotten to serve and learn and grow the way that I did. And so even though for a while things were rough and things were bumpy, and I handed the wheel over to God and I said, Jesus, just take over and let him drive through all of the bumpy parts and get me to a place that I knew that he wanted me to be. But how many of you guys know that once the road gets smooth again, you're ready to hop right back in that driver's seat and stop relying on God? See, when we see what's ahead, we don't mind continuing to step ahead. And when we reach the door ahead of us that we've been driving towards and trying to get to, we go to open it and it's locked, and we just keep trying to open that locked door again and again instead of asking God why it won't open. And sometimes we get this idea in our head of we're supposed to be doing this particular thing by this particular time in our lives. Maybe you had this idea in your head of, man, I'm supposed to be married by the time I'm this age, and I'm supposed to have the kids by the time I'm this age, and by the end of next year, I'm going to be working my dream job. And then I have to be making this much money so I can buy all these things that I want in my life. And the thing about having these expectations and wanting all these things and putting this reality on your life that God didn't give you is it can cause two things. It can cause us to either make the wrong decision, do the wrong things, follow the wrong path, or we can be really disappointed when God doesn't give us those things. But the thing is, we can't let our timing affect God's calling on our lives. We can't be so preoccupied with getting what we want when we want it and let it cause us to miss what God is trying to show us. And sometimes God will give us exactly what we asked for, and once we get it, we get scared of it because it feels too real, and we ask God to take us right back to where we were. And this is exactly what happened in Exodus chapter 14 with that same Israelite army years and years before, whenever they had just been freed from Egypt. So I'm gonna read out of Exodus 14, and I think that some of you guys might relate to the Israelite story in this. I'm gonna pick up in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again.'" You see, God had delivered them from Egypt for a reason. And as they got delivered, they were running from the Egyptians because the Egyptians were chasing them because they realized they wanted them back as slaves. And as they ran, they got to this point where they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. The Egyptian army was chasing them. The only thing they had on this side was the Red Sea. There was a huge ocean that they couldn't cross. But God freed them from Egypt for a reason. He didn't free them to be scared of the past, but he freed them so that they could have a future. And God had a plan for them. They just couldn't see it yet. All they had ever known their entire lives was being slaves. It's the only life that they had ever lived. And at some point, it became so comfortable to them that it was a better option than following God into the unknown. God, in saving them, was asking them to go somewhere new, somewhere uncomfortable for them. And I believe that God is calling you outside of your comfort zone as well. But I don't think this is because God wants you to be uncomfortable. It's not at all because he wants you to be uncomfortable. It's because he wants you to put your complete faith in him. And see, my verse is the reason that I can believe that and trust that God's way is better than my way. And this scripture, Exodus 14:14, is my verse. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. Other versions say, just be quiet, and y'all know that I need that as well. But the thing about this is we weren't ever meant to figure anything out on our own. It's okay to let God handle things. See, God already won the battle, but this doesn't mean that he's just going to hand you everything over either. And I want to try to put this in Wisconsin terms. As I told you guys, I'm from Texas, and I want to make sure that I relate to you guys on some level. So I want to put this in Wisconsin terms. Brett Favre was a great quarterback. I think you guys could all agree on that. And if you don't know him as a quarterback, you might know him from all of his Levi's commercials where he was playing football in his jeans, or maybe it's the knee pain commercials where he had tried new different knee braces, or I think he had a Sleep Number commercial. He had all of these different advertisements that he was doing. And the thing is, he didn't choose to do these advertisements. He didn't go to these advertisement companies and be like, hey, let me wear your jeans and give me money. He didn't do that. See, they came to him, but he never would have gotten these deals. And the thing about these endorsement deals is he made a lot of money off of them. Like, the money he made from that retired his entire family. And so he spent his entire life working to be one of the greatest quarterbacks that the NFL had ever seen. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. But if he didn't put in that work, if he didn't put in those hours, those endorsement deals never would have came. And I know it's kind of hard to see a correlation between playing football and wearing jeans and getting paid for it. But because he tried as hard as he could and worked to become the person he was supposed to be and the football player he was supposed to be, those opportunities came and he was able to provide for his entire family without having to take out of his salary. And not only that, he became the greatest franchise quarterback in Minnesota Vikings history. But just like Brett Favre and so many other people, and maybe even you guys have worked for years at something because you wanted to be the best at it, and you wanted to provide, and you wanted to do what you wanted to do. But the Israelites worked as slaves for years before God finally set them free. But when they became faced with this unknown situation, this huge sea standing in their way, they were ready to turn around and reverse path, even though God had already brought them out of it. But you see, God knew what he was doing. God had already parted the waters, and they walked across the sea on dry land. And that brings me back to the beginning of this message where I gave you my title of If It Ain't God. And all that means is don't walk a path God is not leading you down. You see, you might have this great opportunity. You might be looking at this job that you really want. But if it ain't God, you got to find something else. Or you might be stepping into this next stage of life and you might have thought you found this perfect person that you want to spend your life with, and then you realize that they don't know God. And let me tell you, if it ain't God, you don't want any part of that. You've got to follow God's path no matter where he's leading you. Even if it's not where you thought you were going to go, even if it's not where you wanted to be, if God's leading you there, it's going to be something that changes your life for the better. See, God used this scripture and the lessons that came with it to help me trust him in every major decision I've made since high school. And I want to show you guys how on one last major decision. I know I've talked to you guys a lot about my journey, but there's one last piece that I want to share with you guys. When I had moved to Fort Worth after college, as I told you guys, and I went there, and I remember loving it, and I knew that God wanted me there because God had just provided me a job a month before I left there, a job that I didn't ask for, a job that I wasn't looking for, but I got a call at 6 o'clock one morning from my church, and we had a preschool there, and I was offered a job as a preschool teacher 2 days a week, and I was like, I guess, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Not my ideal job, but I fell in love with it, and I loved being there, and I moved into a house with two of my friends, and great things are starting to happen, and I was getting really involved in children's ministry, and I was able to impact a lot of kids' lives. But as time went on, I couldn't find another job. Like I said, I was only working 2 days a week. I couldn't find another job to help support my bills. I couldn't find a job that I needed so I could continue to pay my bills, and I was struggling, and I was putting in job applications as a youth pastor, and I was putting in job applications as a kids pastor and retail jobs, and I put in 40 to 50 applications. Never got another job. And I remember looking to God, and I need somebody to play God for me. Kiefer, can you come help me? All right, Kiefer, don't let this go to your head. You're God up here, but not in real life. You're just Kiefer. Kiefer's a great dude, but not. Don't let it get you. Yeah, you're pretty great. Okay, and so while you're playing God, I need you to do something that God doesn't do, but I need you to do. If I tell you to do something, I need you to do it. All right, let's test this out. Kiefer, I need you to stand over here. Awesome. Kiefer, stand over here. Kiefer, turn your hat backwards. Isn't that so much better? Yeah, just like me. All right, awesome. Kiefer, you're doing great. And so I had been following God to where God wanted me to be. See, God led me to where I was. And God led me to where I wanted to be. And I followed him around and went where he wanted me to go. Yeah, right. Awesome. Right there. That's Fort Worth. Yeah, perfect. Stay there. Yeah, stay there. And so I started here in Tyler. And geographically, this is actually really accurate. So I was in Tyler, Texas, in East Texas. That's in North or Central Texas. And then you got like Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, and then you guys in the back of the room. That's Wisconsin. But I followed God. I followed God from Tyler, Texas, all the way over here to Fort Worth, Texas, because I trusted that God was going to show me where I needed to be. And God took me there, and he provided for me in ways that I never thought that God would provide for me. But as that time went on and I couldn't find the job, I started trying to open doors that weren't there, and I looked to God, and I didn't see him anymore. And I remember being so confused and knowing that I'm exactly where God wants me to be. Why don't I see him here anymore? Why can't I get a job? Why am I not being provided for the way that I was? And I remember it got late January, and my lease was up in February, and I wasn't making enough money to get a new place. Both of my roommates were moving on to different things, and so I was without a roommate. I was barely had a job, and I didn't know what to do next. And I remember telling myself, if I don't have a job by my 21st birthday, if I don't have a job in ministry by my 21st birthday, I'm changing course. I'm going to try to go back to school, and I'm going to pursue marketing. I'm going to get into marketing. It's good money. It seems fun, and it's something that I feel like I can do. And I remember making this thought and still trying to figure out things and discover where I needed to be, and I was faced with two options that I gave myself. Maybe not the best options, but options. And the first one was I could go back home and live with my parents and work for my dad again and not have to pay rent and get a paycheck. And that would have been great. I love my parents, and I loved being able to be with my parents, and it's hard not having them here, but God pulled me out of Tyler for a reason. God put me here in Fort Worth for a reason, but now I wasn't seeing God there. And I was like, maybe it's just God's waiting on me to do the things that I need to do. And so I had another option, and it was I can sleep in my car. I can sleep in my car in the church parking lot for a couple months, make enough money to get a thing. I've done it before. My friend locked me out of his apartment when I was traveling back and forth a couple times, and I had to sleep in the church parking lot. Like, it's fine. I'll be fine. And everyone I talked to said, absolutely not. You're not sleeping in your car. So, like, great. There goes plan B. Plan A can't happen. Plan B's out the window. I don't know what to do. So I went back to this door that I'd been trying to open that was very obviously closed now. And I said, God, if you're not going to open this door, I need you to show me a door that's open. I'm not going to keep pushing for things that I'm not supposed to have if I'm not supposed to have them. God, I need to hear you. God, I need you to show me where I'm supposed to be. And I sent a text to a good friend of mine that had just moved out of state. And I said, hey, buddy, you miss Texas yet? You miss me yet? I miss you. Please come back to Texas. I need a roommate. You're a great guy. I know you like my church. You're friends with my friends. Come on back. Come live with me. I need a place to live. And I mostly sent it as a joke, just hadn't talked to him in a couple weeks and wanted to update him on where I was. And the response that I get back from that text is, why don't you move up to Wisconsin? I was like, why would I ever move up to that freezing cold, ridiculous place? And he shot back with, we might be looking for a youth pastor. And I realized that maybe that's God trying to tell me something. I went to school for it. I was working and I was interning in that for 2.5 years. And I kind of put it to the side to pursue children's ministry and doing that at the church that I was at. And then I was about to put that aside to go into marketing. But maybe I followed God in the right direction. But now he was showing me a new direction. And so I looked at him, and I sent him back a text. And I said, are you sure? And he was like, yeah, like, let's see. And so I drove directly to my church, and I went to one of the pastors who was a good friend of mine and a great mentor that I had that had taught me a lot. And I said, hey, this is the situation. This is what's happening. And he was like, book a flight and fly up there right now. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you need to be there this weekend to see if this is where you need to be. And so I went back home, and I sent my friend a text, that friend being Pastor Randon. And he said, yeah, dude, like, book a flight. Come on, we want to have you. And I was like, okay, but one thing, where would I live? I don't have money. I don't have anything. He said, me and the worship pastor, Pastor Aaron, I've been looking at apartments. We've been looking at two-bedroom apartments. That's all we've looked at. Today, we're looking at a three-bedroom house. The only one that they had looked at in their entire time. And it ended up being the exact same day that I texted Pastor Randon out of nowhere and decided to fly up to Wisconsin to check this place out. And so I came up here and I fell in love with this place and I met amazing people and I heard amazing stories that I knew that I wanted to be a part of. And I flew back and I went to my friends, my roommates that I was living with, the children's pastor and the musician. And I said, guys, I think this is where I need to be. And they were like, you don't have any money. Where are you going to stay? And I said, funny story. I'm going to stay with a children's pastor and a musician. Like God lined every single detail up perfectly. So one last time, I went to the store in Fort Worth just to try it. I pushed on it, pulled on it, it didn't open. I said, okay, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. God, I know that now. God, I'm listening for your voice. God, where are you? And I heard him. I said, whoa. I said, what was that? And I looked back to Wisconsin, all these steps, and I looked back to God, and I heard his voice one more time. I said, all right, well, that's three times. I got to follow it. And I said, everything's fallen into place. Everyone's telling me this is where I'm supposed to be. And I followed the path that God was leading me down. Thank you so much, Kiefer. A couple weeks later, I got home, and I got a call from Pastor Ryan and Shalee offering me an internship to come up to this church. And I was like, okay, well, God wants me to be there. I've already been an intern for 2.5 years. I can find a full-time job there, and I know that's where God wants me to be, so I'm going to take it. And I took the step of faith to move to a state that was like 60,000 degrees colder than what I'm used to for an unpaid internship. But I knew that it was where God wanted me to be, and I accepted that, and I agreed to move up here on that. And 2 weeks later, while I was packing my things and figuring out what the steps were to get up here and get enough money to pay the first month's rent, I got another call from Pastor Ryan offering me a part-time youth position. And I remember, like, after that call, like, immediately calling my parents and be like, Mom, Dad, guess what? The greatest thing just happened. I finally made the break that I was looking for. I'm a part-time youth pastor in Wisconsin. And I remember being so excited about it, and my friends were all excited for me because it was all that I was looking for was just to follow in what God wanted me to be, and I knew that that was being a youth pastor. It didn't matter if that was unpaid youth pastor, part-time, full-time, it didn't matter. But I took the step of faith to take an internship, and God provided me with that job. I moved up here, and I started working. I was interviewing with a couple places that I knew would be willing to hire me, and 3 weeks into me being here, we went to a conference, the Next Gen team did, and on that conference, we were offered full-time positions here at the church. I took a step of faith to take an internship, and because of that step of faith, I believe that God rewarded me with a full-time job that I was never expecting. See, and the moral of all of the things that I've said today, that what I want people to get out of this more than anything is that God will always fight for you. Sometimes we have to be still so he can move, but he's going to be fighting for you. And when we stop fighting for what we want and we stop trying to open doors that God locked for a reason, and we start listening to what God has for us, good things start to happen in our lives. This story and this scripture changed my life. Exodus 14:14 is my verse, and I believe that it can change your life too. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for letting us gather here today, God. I thank you for this word and this scripture that you've put on my heart, God. I pray for anyone in this room that needed to hear these things today, God, that they can take it into their life and apply it, Father God. I pray for anyone in the room that is fighting for their lives, trying to open a door that you've closed, Father God, or fighting for their lives, trying to fix everything on their own, God. Give them the peace to take a step back and let you take the wheel. God, I pray that anyone in this room that is in that moment of waiting, of not knowing what path you're leading them down, God, I pray that they can hear you guiding them down the right path, Father. God, I hope that everyone in this room knows that nothing they do, God, can steer them away from you. God, even if they've been walking down the wrong path for years, if they take a step back, look to you, you'll always lead them right back down the right path. God, you won't question what they've done. God, you're going to love them no matter what. and continue to lead them where you want them to be. God, I just pray that anyone in this room that or watching online that maybe they're in that time of being still and waiting for you, God, I pray that you start providing and showing them who you are in their life right now, Father God. I pray that in that moment of stillness in their life, that you show up in major ways, God, that they never would have even expected, God. Again, I just pray for everyone in this room, God. I thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives, Father God. And I just pray that this verse, Father God, Exodus 14:14, Father God, where you say that you'll fight for us and all we have to do is be still. God, I pray that that can be on people in this room's heart for the rest of their lives, Father God. In your name. And with every head bowed and with every eye still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of this message, I said that if you're looking for hope or for purpose to your life, that I wanted to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. And we talked today about being still and trusting God to fight for us. We also talked about following the path that God is guiding us down, and both of those two things start with a decision. There's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to earn being a part of God's family. But God did something for us already. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us, to pay the price for our sin so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free, so that we could be a part of God's family. The work's already been done for us, but we still have a part to do. We have to recognize that Jesus did that for us. And not only recognize that, but tell God that we want to follow him and that we want to make him in charge of our life. And the way we do that is in two parts. The first part is prayer. And prayer is just having that conversation with God to make that decision, and that's where everything changes. And the second part of that is water baptism. That's where we get to share with our focused family that we made that decision. We go public with our decision that we made in private. But like I said, that first part is prayer. And I want to give you guys the opportunity to do that now. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to say a few words at a time, and I just want you guys to repeat it out loud after me. But I want to invite the entire Focus Church family to do it with you, because we pray together here. We're about helping people find God's place in their lives. So like I said, I'll say a couple words at a time, and you guys just got to repeat it after me. Here we go. Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.